good evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's Molloy Show. Thanks for tuning in. How was your day? Hopefully you didn't watch any of the Eric Holder hearing on the electric television set where the Senate Judiciary Committee, it was a Judiciary Committee, and these mushmouths on that committee. I'll tell you, this, what's his name from Alabama, Jeff Sessions, every time I listen to him talk, you know, it just reminds me of somebody trying to talk mouthful of barbecue and grits. I don't like him. I don't like Jeff Sessions at all. Very few white Southern politicians I do like. And it must have been hell, really. Let's show a little love for poor old Jeff Sessions. He's sitting there talking to a black man who is the chief law enforcement officer in the United States. That must have just caused Jeff Sessions' underwear to just roll up. You know what I'm saying? There Jeff Sessions is talking to the chief law enforcement officer in the United States. It happens to be a black man. Woo, Jeff, that hurt, didn't it? That hurt. Damn. But the disrespect. Now, let me change that. The attack. And that's what it is. The attack on Obama cabinet members is astonishing on the one hand. On the other hand, it's just another example of the cowardice of Republicans. When did they ever question Ashcroft or Gonzalez or this freakish John Yoo? When were they ever subject to the sorts of questions by Republicans that members of the Obama cabinet are being subject to? When? Well, of course, never. And, you know, when you think about Ashcroft and Gonzalez, those two were almost as responsible as Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was Mr. Inside. Gonzalez and Ashcroft were the two Mr. Outsides. And these three were responsible for setting up the situation we're now in. And these rancid bastards, these Republicans, sit on the Judiciary Committee and ask the kinds of questions regarding the trial of these first ten detainees. And Jeff Sessions sitting there talking about how, well, you know, it's going to cost, if I shouldn't watch this stuff. I should go outside. I mean, it is fall. It is nice out after the rain cleared out today. It is nice out. You know, just go out and go for a walk. You know what I'm saying? Because Jeff Sessions, beady-eyed bastard. Every time I see him, I have to admit it, he's got that cute little, smile on his face. Y'all ever go snipe hunting? Do y'all have snipe hunting up north? I don't know. We catch snipes down here, and they're real good when you bake up 6, 8, 12 of them. They're very, very good, very tender. But he looks like somebody who's on a snipe hunt or just came back from one, right? He's got that little crap-eating grin. And it usually really jumps out when he has to talk to somebody of color. If he has to talk to a colored person, oh, Jeff Sessions just about loses it. So there he was today. I watched him go on for 8 or 9 minutes with Attorney General Holder. And, of course, Eric Holder, you know, Holder's used to this. Holder knows how to handle some cracker like Jeff Sessions. Holder knows how to. Come on. There's not a black man in America that doesn't understand how to handle a cracker like Jeff Sessions. I mean, to watch Holder, just, you know, he is the Attorney General of the United States. And to watch Jeff Sessions, who is a racist little bastard from Alabama, who is a senator. To watch that interplay to me was just, you know, proof positive once again of the utter absolute cowardice of Republicans, the ignorance of Republicans, and the stupidity of Republicans. And it increases exponentially when they become senators or members of the U.S. House. It's really something to see. Palin television is getting to me. It really is. And media are giving her all the attention that is usually reserved for a Republican president who is about to be indicted or impeached. Have you noticed this? They just can't take their cameras away from her. You know why? Let's be real. She's got a great ass. That's why. I'm sorry. That's the truth. Sarah Palin is a jerk and a moron. But she also, to a lot of assignment editors and Republicans, she's really, really hot. Really hot. Hot package. And they want her to be president. I'll tell you right now, media in this country want Sarah Palin to be president. They want her elected. And they're doing all they can to bring about that sickening reality. Wouldn't they have fun with a Sarah Palin? Son of a bitch. Now, she doesn't have an Ice Cube's chance in hell. Not really. She really doesn't. Because eventually something's going to come out like came out on Dr. Laura. Remember those photographs that came out? You watch. It's coming. It is coming. But media want her elected. The media want war. Someplace, any place. Media hate the fact that Iraq has wound down to the point where they're just blowing each other up now. And media hate the fact that I'm referring mostly to television media and the talking heads on both television and radio. Media is not necessarily news. You know that as well as I do. But anyway, they as the war in Iraq is winding down and fewer people are being blown into red mist. Oh, damn. This is not what they expected or what they wanted. As Obama hesitates, trying to make a decision about Afghanistan, you know, the media just ride him mercilessly. Have you noticed that? They just ride him mercilessly. Gloria Borger, what channel is she on? What network? She's starting to irritate the hell out of me, too. Somebody ought to suit her up, give her a weapon, put her in some body armor, and drop her about 15 miles outside of Kandahar and say, okay, Gloria, here's your goddamn war. Go for it. You think? Oh, and don't let her wear a burqa or a veil or a scarf or anything. Just drop her out there. And media want no health reform. Those are the two, health insurance reform. Those are the three big issues they're working on right now. They want war. They want Sarah Palin as president. And they want no health insurance reform. The reason media don't want health insurance reform is obvious, because media are corporate. They are stock companies. They are they have to answer to their shareholders. They're losing money, most of them, except Fox. I guess Fox is making a fortune, right? So you know, when you're losing money and you're in television, what you do, or you're losing viewers, what you do is just bloody it up a bit. That's all. That's all you have to do. You know, you all know this. If it bleeds, it leads. Just bloody it up a bit. Or geek it up a bit. Sarah Palin is nothing if she's not a complete geek with a curvy ass. And media loves it. Oh, man. Give me some more Sarah Palin. I mean, to have cameras, I caught a couple of glimpses today of, she was in where? Her first book tour stop, Michigan or Iowa? I don't know. They're trying to draw a comparison between how one launches a presidential campaign and what Sarah Palin is doing. And here are these lines and lines of people. And Jesus Christ, didn't the networks just go bonkers with that? You could almost feel the flop sweat coming off their foreheads as they watched Sarah Palin sashay in and out, and all these people lined up, right? I'm telling you. If Sarah Palin looked like Greta Van Susteren, there'd be no coverage at all. Nothing. What else we got? I've got a whole stack of stuff here, right? So we have a break coming here. We'll take a break and come back. We'll start out with quick email here from Dr. Sachs, who plays with the Count Basie Orchestra and travels all over the world. Quick email from him. And what else we got? Oh, Rich Stockwell, senior producer at MSNBC's Countdown. Was Rich the one we had on the program? We didn't have Rich. We had one of the other producers, right? I got an email here from, it's posted at... it's posted at, I think, Crooks and Liars. But I'm going to share this with you. You got to hear this. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Hang out. Stay with me. To the beanpole dames in the magazines, you ain't it, Miss Thing. Give me a sister, I can't resist her. Red beans and rice didn't miss her. Some knucklehead tried to diss, because his girls are on my list. He had game, but he chose to hit him. And I pull up quick to get with him. So, ladies, if the butt is round and you want a triple X throwdown, dial 1-900-MIX-A-LOT and kick them nasty thoughts. Baby got back.
packs, fill them a dough. Had a $1 million vibe in the butter to go. Them birthday cakes, they stole the show. So sexual, she was flexible.
Hey, truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So Dr. Sachs writes in early this evening. He writes, Mike, I'm watching CNN right now when Senator Reid comes on for his announcement of what the Senate is going to do about health insurance reform. After he speaks a few minutes, Wolf Blitzer comes in and cuts him off and starts giving his opinion. And then he has a panel. I'm cursing at the television. Is it me or do the Republicans seem to be all over the Sunday shows and these cable shows, and some of them spew their evil venom and lies for a good segment? In addition, it seems like it's Sarah Palin TV lately, during which she has demonstrated that she is a pathological liar to the point where her own campaign has to say, you're making blank up. Anyway, Malloy, this stuff blows. I'm not sure, bro, but it's looking bleak on the horizon. I hope the best for all this mess. I quickly sent Wolf a tweet on Twitter and this email through his site. What? Why did you cut off Reid's announcement so you could give us your opinions? What kind of crap is that? This is important to so many of us. We want to hear what they are saying. I'm self-employed, buy my own insurance. It is expensive, and unlike people that say I have many options, I do not. I just have a few choices, and each has a high deductible and high per-visit doctor copay. Please, try to let the Republicans speak for, the representatives speak for themselves. You are on 24 hours a day. What? That's not enough? Time to do real news? Oh, that's not enough time to do real news? All right, well, Dr. Sachs gets a little bit angry over, I don't know, a couple of years of getting emails from me. He travels all over the world. He'll email me from someplace like, he'll be doing a gig in Paris, maybe, and he'll write to me and let me know what's going on with health insurance there, or health care there. So, anyway, thanks, Dr. Sachs. All right, countdown. Now, remember, Keith Olbermann said he was going to start this this free health and health care, these clinics that that travel around and provide free health care to people, the National Association of Free Health Clinics. And he started going, and so far they've collected, I guess, several. Is it, what did our guest say the other night, who's one of Keith's producers, Kathy? What did he say? A couple hundred thousand dollars have been collected so far. I don't think it was as much as a million, but it is enough to provide supplies for these free clinics. The labor is provided free by the doctors and nurses and cardiologists and dentists and the people that participate in this. So Rich Stockwell, senior producer of Countdown, writes about his experiences at the free clinic funded by viewer contributions. Remember, they said they were going to take the first one to outside New Orleans, or New Orleans itself. And Rich writes, excuse me, as I stood in the middle of the 163,000 square feet of New Orleans Convention Center that had been set up to provide people with health care, my eyes welled up and overflowed. It happened as I watched a 50-something woman walk out after spending several hours being attended to by volunteer doctors. The doctor tells us as she heads for the next patient, quote, she's decided against treatment, a reasonable decision under the circumstances, end quote. The president of the board of the National Association of Free Health Clinics tells me why, quote, it's stage 4 breast cancer. Her body is filled with tumors, end quote. I don't know when that doctor last saw a doctor, but I don't know when that woman last saw a doctor, but I do know that if she had had health insurance, the odds that she would have seen a doctor long ago are much higher, and her chances for an earlier diagnosis and treatment would have been far greater. After watching for hours as the patients moved through the clinic, it was hard to believe that I was in America. 83% of the patients they see are employed. They're not accepting other government help on a large scale. They're not welfare queens, as some would like to have us believe. They are tax-paying, good, upstanding citizens who are trying to make it and give their kids a better life, just like you and me. 90% of the patients who came through Saturday's clinic had two or more diagnoses. 82% had a life-threatening condition such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, or hypertension. They're victims of a system built with corporate profits at its center, which long ago forgot that the moral imperative that should drive us to show compassion to our fellow men and women. Health reform is not about Democrats or Republicans or who can score political points for the next election. It's about people. It's about fairness and justice in a system that knows neither. I defy even the most hardened capitalist-loving conservative to do what I did on Saturday and continue then to pretend that the system in place right now is working. Countdown shows to highlight and raise money for the Association of Free Clinics because we knew the work they do is so vitally important, and we wanted to show in real terms how great the need is. We invited several politicians to attend so they could see firsthand how critical the situation is. All declined. Some explained that they talk with constituents all the time and know very well the need for reform. We'll continue this after the break. Stay with me. Stay with me.
Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. So, Rich Stockwell, senior producer at MSNBC's Countdown with Keith Olbermann, goes to a free clinic in New Orleans, paid for, free for the patients that come in, paid for by donations to Olbermann's website. What is it? Countdown.msnb. If you go to MSNBC, you'll find his website and you can make a contribution there if you want to. So they raised enough money to do this, this last weekend. So, Rich Stockwell, the senior producer for the program, writes about what he experienced. And he says, Countdown chose to highlight and raise money for the Association of Free Clinics. Because we knew the work they do is so vitally important, and we wanted to show in real terms how great the need is. We invited several politicians to attend so they could see firsthand how critical the situation is. All declined. Some explained that they talk with constituents all the time, and they know very well of the need for reform. Well, I have news for them. These people didn't need to speak. Their actions spoke far louder than any words. Having to get a checkup and diagnoses at a free clinic because they have no other option tells you all you need to know. There are no words that can accurately describe the quiet desperation on the faces of these patients. Every single one I spoke to and everyone I heard talking with doctors expressed their gratitude for the event and wished that they were held more often. They have been given the resources in their local communities with which they can get follow-up care. But they are also the few. Over 700,000 people in Louisiana alone have no health care, most of them with jobs that don't offer insurance. Or worse, they have to decide whether to pay for that or food and housing. Four patients were taken out on stretchers and admitted immediately to hospitals. One woman, who didn't know why she was feeling bad, had a blood pressure reading of 280 over 180, numbness in her right arm, and a slight headache. She now has a shot at survival, but without her attendance at the clinic, it was a matter of time before the inevitable happened. I spoke with a nurse who was there not as a volunteer, but as a patient. He works two part-time jobs at hospitals providing quality care to those who have the one thing he doesn't. Many of his patients share his condition of high blood pressure, but they are fortunate to have insurance to pay for him to care for them while he goes without. His situation is not uncommon. He's tried for years to get more hours at one of his jobs so he will be eligible for benefits, but it hasn't happened yet. Our system of for-profit health care can't afford to give him and others benefits. Might make the stock price drop a penny or two. The last time the media gathered at that convention center, it was for a natural disaster in which our government was rendered useless due to incompetence. This time, we were there to cover a man-made disaster of even larger proportions. This is a disaster that goes largely unseen by most Americans. It is not too late for our current government to show that they are competent and can do what the vast majority of Americans are asking them to do. The incredibly dedicated people at the Association of Free Clinics told me the clinic would change me, and I knew it would. None of the most hardened and heartless among us could watch that event and not be moved to action. I have changed. I am gratified that just over 1,000 people were able to get the minimal amount of care and resources for follow-up. But I'm heartsick for the many more like them who didn't have the time or didn't know that they could get care that Saturday. They walk through their lives not knowing when the ticking time bomb might go off. Politicians continue to tell us that we are the most compassionate and caring people, and clearly we have done much good in the world. I left the event overwhelmed by the hard work and dedication of the volunteers, the doctors, nurses, other medical professionals, as well as ordinary citizens who came to help. I am left with one overwhelming question. What does it say about us as a nation of people who can live in a country so rich and yet allow this to continue? Rich Stockwell, writing about his experience in New Orleans last weekend. Rich Stockwell, senior producer, MSNBC's Countdown. If you want more information about this website they've set up for donations, go to MSNBC.com and find Countdown. It's not that hard. You'll get there. Ah, man. Here's something that got zero coverage by our, Ray McGovern call it, fawning corporate media. General Wesley Clark, he's retired now, but the one-time Democratic candidate for president, told Congress today, or yesterday, I'm sorry, in remarks that I didn't even know he was testifying. Now, Raw Story says, in little reported remarks. I don't know what they mean by that. I heard nothing. Maybe what Raw Story means is that it got a little coverage, maybe in a newspaper somewhere. But General Wesley Clark said the United States should begin planning for an exit from Afghanistan, thereby breaking ranks with Obama's current Afghan commander, General Stanley Crystal. Now, remember who General Wesley Clark is. He's the former Supreme Allied Commander of U.S. Forces Europe. That was a position Eisenhower held during the invasion of Normandy. General Wesley Clark, a former Supreme Allied Commander of U.S. Forces Europe, reminded Congress of what he called the legacy of Vietnam in considering the U.S. strategy in Afghanistan. As you know, Obama's commanders have called for an increase of as many as 60,000 to 80,000 troops in Afghanistan. Clark told the House Armed Services Committee on Oversight and Investigations, quote, subcommittee, that is, you've got to figure out where you're going. How do we get out of here? Because our presence long-term there is not a good thing. We're playing into the hands of people who don't like foreigners in a country that's not tolerant of diversity. And that's not going to change, end quote. Clark pressed Congress to begin devising an exit strategy from Afghanistan. He said that the U.S. should strengthen its relationship with Pakistan and work with the Pakistani government to target al-Qaeda while diminishing our presence in neighboring Afghanistan. He also argued that economic development in Afghanistan was important. Clark said if the U.S. were to increase its forces in Afghanistan, an exit strategy should be in place first. He said during his testimony, quote, the legacy of Vietnam really looms over these discussions. It's particularly painful for me to see where we are in Afghanistan, end quote. He is certainly an observer, someone who knows. He commanded an infantry battalion during the Vietnam War. He was shot four times. He was awarded a Silver Star for his efforts in battle. The retired general said he preferred a minimalist approach, his word, that would subvert Afghan terrorism, as some Democrats, including Vice President Joe Biden, have argued. Biden has asserted that the U.S. should draw down its Afghan military presence and focus on the Taliban. A committee Democrat, and it doesn't say here who it was, criticized General Wesley Clark's approach, saying a focus on rebuilding Afghanistan was akin to former Vice President Dick Cheney's approach to Iraq. What? That doesn't make any sense. General Clark replied, quote, "I'm not sure what the Cheney solution was to Iraq, but I can't associate myself with it." He went on to say the primary issue is getting the strategy exactly right. And Sharon, our military affairs correspondent, puts a P.S. Clark was a company commander at the time he was shot in Vietnam. And she adds, Clark graduated first in the West Point class in 1966. Over 30 of his classmates were killed and more than 100 wounded in Vietnam. His roommate at West Point was among the dead. That from our military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy, who really supported General Wesley Clark back during the when he was a presidential candidate. We have a missive from Prairie 2 about Obama's trip to China, but I guess we'll have to wait until after this break. What else do we have? Some more stuff about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his nine of his fellow detainees being taken to New York City for trial. So we have a ways to go. Oh, and an unintended consequence as a result of the gay marriage ban in Texas that we'll share with you. Oh, God, this is so crazy. This reported by the McClatchy newspaper's Washington Bureau, one of the remaining legitimate, honest, straightforward news reporting agencies in the United States, McClatchy. We'll be back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn dealer tomorrow. About 9 before the hour, I don't know if you've heard the breaking news earlier tonight, but a federal judge has ruled that the Army Corps of Engineers were responsible for the breached levees in New Orleans that resulted in how many deaths and the total flooding of that city. It wasn't incompetence on the part of the city administration or the state. The We'll have more on this tomorrow, probably. But the fault, the blame, lies squarely with the Army Corps of Engineers for their inability to maintain the levees as they are supposed to do. And as a result of that, how many hundreds of people died? Prairie 2 writes in, was Obama's trip to China a failure? Well, he didn't give anybody a public back rub or a throw up on the prime minister. However, the Chinese president ignored everything Obama said in their joint press conference, where the Chinese refused to take questions. In his half of the press event, President Hu lectured Obama on America's unacceptable weak dollar policy. He went on to complain about Obama having put huge tariffs of 40% on tires and 99% on pipe that China was dumping into the U.S. market to eliminate U.S. producers. Obama let the Chinese have things their own way in public, and indeed he said many things to build up their stature. Face is a very important thing to the Chinese. The question is, did he get anything back in private? Obama came out today and warned we could have a double-dip recession if government deficits are not brought under control. He knows there is no practical way to balance the budget given the mess the Republicans left behind. The Chinese complain constantly about all our deficit spending. So is he just telling them what they want to hear? Or is he taking orders from our masters? Maybe he has made a deal with China to allow us to rebuild without China interfering. What is required is a total restructuring of the economy, from the rebuilding of the manufacturing base to a realignment of our currency and the elimination of the debt, not repayment, elimination. Throw in a complete breakup of all the monopolistic corporations and a rollback of the Reagan tax cuts, and we could become an emerging economy instead of plunging deeper into the third world. Is Obama preparing the ground for a New Deal reform program and maybe a trade war with China? Or is he preparing us for the final transfer of power to the corporate elite? Obama is warning about a double-dip recession if we spend more money on the recovery. We're still going down the first dip. Either way, things are going to get bad, but will they get better again? Prairie2.com. And amid all this, of course, you notice how the stock market is just, I don't know what it did today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and frankly, I really don't care. I don't have a dog in that fight either. I used to have a little tiny stock portfolio. I really did. It was IRAs that I bought over the years until, was it last year, Kathy, when our accountant said it's time to dump them because they had lost 45% of their value. So I have nothing right now, which is fine with me. When we, Kathy, went to fill out our final medical directives in our wills a couple of weeks ago, you know, the attorney we went to see, he said, okay, now let's talk about how to divide your estate, Mike. How about your stock portfolio? And when I stopped laughing, he said, okay. My stock portfolio. It's still funny. The guy whose parents started this whole evangelical, crazy, Armageddonous crap, Frank Schaefer, whom we've had on this program, was on Rachel Maddow's program again. I think he's been on there a couple of times, hasn't he? Last night. Because this bumper sticker or T-shirt, we talked about this, it says, pray for Obama, and then it references Psalm 109:8, and if you read the next one, 109:9, it's a sentiment expressed to kill Barack Obama. You know, and these Christians talk about the murderous aspects of Islam. Oh, for God's sake. I mean, like, oh, please. So here we have right-wing Christian Nazis, which just about everybody in the fundamentalist Christian movement on this entire planet, they're all crazy. They just want to see piles of bodies so Jesus will be happy, and their twisted thinking comes sliding down all the blood and gore and rapture them all up to heaven. Schaefer had some things to say about this on Rachel's program last night, and I want to share that with you when we come back from this break, okay? What else do we have? This amoral, ultra-right-wing Christian Taliban in this country. Dear God, we have to worry about enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, they warned us about that, didn't they? Republicans and evangelical Dominionist Christians hate this country. All Republicans, all Dominionist Christians, they loathe and despise the United States, and they will do anything in their power, and are doing everything in their power, to end it. We'll be back after the break. Stick around if you can. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. The situation in Texas is just an absolute knee slapper and a real screamer. There's a Houston lawyer and Democratic candidate for attorney general there. Her name is Barbara Ann Radnofsky. And she says that a 22-word clause in a 2005 constitutional amendment designed to ban gay marriages erroneously endangers the legal status of all marriages in the state of Texas. I love stuff like this. The amendment, which was approved by the legislature and overwhelmingly ratified by voters, why, of course, declares that, quote, marriage in this state shall consist only of the union of one man and one woman, end quote. But the troublemaking phrase, as Ms. Radnofsky sees it, is subsection B, which declares, quote, this state or a political subdivision of this state may not create or recognize any legal status identical or similar to marriage, end quote. Now, architects of the amendment included the clause to ban same-sex civil unions and domestic partnerships. See these dirty, rotten sons of bitches down there? Not only do they execute innocent people and vomit George Bush up on the stage, a political stage, but, you know, we're going to ban same-sex marriage and civil unions and domestic partnerships. But Radnofsky, who was with a Houston law firm for a long time before retiring and now running for attorney general, says the wording of subsection B effectively, quote, eliminates marriage in Texas, end quote, including common law marriages. She calls it a, quote, massive mistake, end quote, and blames the current attorney general, Republican Greg Abbott, for allowing the language to become part of the Texas Constitution. She says another constitutional amendment may be necessary to reverse the problem. Yada, yada, yada. The only reason I bring that up is you know, the criminal activities of the religious right in this country. it really is disgusting. Why don't they, why don't they do what these cultists with the that branch of Mormonism, they go live off in some valley or someplace out in the desert. And I realize that the men in these Latter-day Saints cults mistreat everybody in their cult who is not a male. And I, I'm sorry to hear about that, but I would think that if enough of the women being thusly mistreated were to come to a realization that they're just being gamed, that they would all leave. But maybe all fundamentalist Christians could do that. Why don't you all just, why do you keep dicking around with the laws, the secular laws? Why do you keep doing that? What do you care? As long as no queer comes into your church and demands that your half-witted minister marries a couple of gay people, what do you care what goes on someplace else, you rat bastards? What do you care? Why are you sticking your nose or some part of your some other appendage on your body into other people's business? What do you care? Why are you out passing laws against stopping gay people from getting married? What's your game? What's your scam? I mean, if you really believe that those folks are committing sin and they're going to burn in hell forever, well, let them. Why is it any of your goddamn business? This is God's business, isn't it? Why don't you all just sit down and shut up? Seriously, why don't you? If I had reached my atheism, or if I had reached a point where I had gone the intellectual route to arrive at a non-theist, an atheist point of view, and we're just hesitating at the last minute because of that, all that inculcation I had of Methodism and Baptism. What pushed me over the brink, I'm not saying this happened, but I'm just sitting here thinking, would have been these rat bastards who define themselves as Christians and their petty games to destroy everything. They want to destroy the entire Earth and the solar system so that their sick God will rapture them up, to Mars. Where do you all think you're going? where does he think you're going? Oh, well, I digress. All right, Frank Schaefer, Rachel Maddow took up this issue last night, inviting Frank Schaefer to explain whether or not the citation that is being expressed now on T-shirts and bumper stickers, the one that say "Pray for Obama" and then references Psalm 109, verse 8, and you can also go one verse further, 109, verse 9, and really see what these right-wing religious sons of bitches are saying. And that reference is where you're supposed to pray that the leader be dead, and that his wife become a widow and his children become orphans, right? So Frank Schaefer talking to, or Rachel Maddow talking to Frank Schaefer, asked him to explain whether or not the citation of this biblical text, in Rachel's words, means something less threatening to people hearing this in a biblical context. And Schaefer answered, no, actually it means something more threatening. He said last night, I think the situation I find genuinely frightening right now is that you have a ramping up of biblical language. Language from the anti-abortion movement, for instance, death panels and this sort of thing. And what it's coalescing into is branding Obama as Hitler, as they've already called him, and something foreign to our shores. We're reminded of that he's born in Kenya, right? He's born in Kenya! As brown, as black, above all, as not us. He is Sarah Palin's, quote, not a real American, end quote. But now it turns out that he joins the ranks of the unjust kings of ancient Israel, unjust rulers, to which all these biblical allusions are directed, who should be slaughtered, if not by God, then by just men. So, Schaefer goes on, there's a parallel here with Timothy McVeigh's T-shirt on the day of the Oklahoma City bombing. He said the tree of liberty had to be watered by the blood of tyrants. That quote we saw at a meeting where Obama was present, carried on a placard by someone with a loaded weapon. What we're looking at right now is two things going on. We see the evangelical groups I talked about in my new book, Patience with God, enthralled by an apocalyptic vision that I go into in some detail there. They represent the millions of people who have turned the Left Behind series of books into bestsellers. Most of them are not crazy, they're just deluded. But there's a crazy fringe to whom all these little messages that have been pouring out of Fox News and now on a bumper sticker, talking about doing away with Obama, asking God to kill him. Really, this is trolling for assassins. This is serious business. It's un-American. It's unpatriotic. And it goes to show that the religious right, the Republican far right, have coalesced into a group who truly want American revolution. It turns out to be blood in the streets and death. So be it. It's not funny stuff anymore. They cannot be dismissed as just crazies on the fringe. It only takes one. You know, look at the Boston Globe article from a few weeks ago that says the threat level faced by the Secret Service has gone up 400%, higher than any other time in half a century. For any president, Democrat or Republican, these are not jokes. So the amoral, ultra-right-wing Christian dominionist Taliban that want to reform America as an undemocratic Christian theocracy based on the narrowest interpretation of the nastiest perversion of the archetypically liberal teachings of Christ is not what this country or any country needs, to say the least. But that's what we've got in Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck and the teabag crowd, huh? Christians. Yeah, sure you are.
Another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. If you're listening online, and I think it's only for our online listeners, right? During these breaks, you're hearing some pretty super funk music. It's by a group called Afro Skull. And the percussionist in this band used to be our board operator when we all worked at Air America. And if you're enjoying this music, they have a website, afroskull.com, afroskull.com. Really, really good musicians. So check it out, afroskull.com. And if you're listening online, you're probably thinking, damn, who is this? And that's our boy Jason, who is a percussionist in this group. Just so you know, that's all. I got an email earlier today. Somebody said, you know, why don't you tell us what music you play for the net listener, web listeners? I don't know. It just slips my mind sometimes. But Afro Skull. Check them out. Afroskull.com. And what's the name of this CD? From Here to Obscurity?
To Obscurity and Beyond.
To Obscurity and Beyond. This is a good CD. It really is. We'll have to send Jason an email and say, well. Paul is in Irvine, California. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. I was calling about Afghanistan and how limited the right wing are in their thinking about what we have to do over there.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to go into take the trouble of quoting Sarah Palin because It's very, you can just lose brain cells if you try to quote her verbatim.
Isn't that
but
the truth?
only, you know, spew coming out of her mouth was, listen to the general's victory, listen to the general's victory. So they have...
Yeah, you know what? She would have said that with General William Westmoreland back during the days of Vietnam, too, right?
Right. And see, that's a good reference you have there, because when you think of victory, I mean, all of these soldiers doing third, fourth tours, coming back with PTSD.
Right.
At some point, it's... we've already lost in a lot of ways, I'm sorry to say. Mm-hmm. I'm 29, too, by the way, and mm-hmm. I understand these things.
Well, there is no victory in Afghanistan. I don't even know why are we there? We were told by this criminal Bush administration that we were going there because that's where the roots of the teachings of the that motivated the terrorists to come to this country and blow up buildings, that the roots were there and we had to go there and pull up the roots or something like that. And now military experts are saying that they're down to 100 Al-Qaeda left in Afghanistan. As far as the Taliban is concerned, who gives a damn about the Taliban? The Taliban doesn't hijack airplanes. The Taliban just imprisons their women and tells the girls they can't go to school and raise opium. What's up with going after the Taliban? Where is right. that in the war resolutions that this lousy, rotten Congress passed all those years ago, right?
Right. If there's anything good that came out of this, it's that we cannot occupy a country. I mean, we have supposedly the strongest military force in the country. We have about 1 million-point-something troops in our military, but we just can't occupy a country, and that's a good thing. I don't want us to occupy a country, to be honest. You know.
Well, I don't either. The problem is until cooler heads prevail, and I don't know if that'll ever happen again in this country. We're on a downward slope, where the fascists in government, religion, business, all of it are on the ascendancy. But if cooler heads ever were to prevail, and just bring home the people that we have in Afghanistan and Iraq, and point out to the American people that there is no reason. I don't care what these psychopaths on the right say. They're crazy. Why are crazy people dictating U.S. policy? Why are crazy people dictating what Jesus would do? Why are crazy people telling us what the economy should be like? You know, I mean, it's just, it's insane. This really has become what Greg Palast called it in one of his books, an armed madhouse, which comes from, who is that? It comes from Allen Ginsberg poem. This is an armed madhouse, this United States of America. And I don't know if, Paul, thanks. I don't know if we'll ever be able to come out of it. It damn sure is not going to happen in my lifetime. Maybe it will in yours. Paul's 29. Okay. Maybe. All right, we have a break coming here. And when we do come back, we're going to come back to your phone calls for a while, okay? The number here, if you want to check in, 877-996-2556. And if you want to do it the other way, 877-99-MALLOY. Okay? 877-99-MALLOY. Give us a holler, we'll put you on the air.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Jude, listening to Seattle, emails in. Remember, she writes, we were reminded several months back of what imprecatory prayer is, you know, regarding the pray for Obama, and then the reference is a couple of psalms that demand instant death of the king, the ruler. Jude writes, the movement of the so-called conservative evangelical cult is involved in curses. That's exactly what imprecatory prayer is. Speak it out loud and directly when calling who they are. Conservative evangelical cult. Yeah, it, they are about, signed you, they are about demons and curses and dark stuff. You know, they have completely submerged any light that might have dwelt in the heart of their Jesus. It's all been extinguished. And what it's been replaced with is this hate-filled, sick, twisted, well, as Carl Sagan called it, the demon-haunted world. That's where these evangelical Christians live, in a demon-haunted world. You know, Sarah Palin, standing there in the church in Alaska, having the so-called bishop from some country in Africa protecting her from witches or curses or evil spirits or demons or whatever. And this dumb jerk standing there, you know, I guess, was this when she was governor, before she was governor, just standing there, oh, yeah, oh, good, drive out those demons, Rev. You know, what the hell is this? You know, people who subscribe to fundamentalist Christianity and, I guess, fundamentalist Judaism and Islam have got to believe in demons and evil spirits. And, I mean, Jesus talked about driving out demons. There are all sorts of craziness, just weird crap that might have worked for people 5,000-6,000 years ago when they're wandering around the desert bumping into each other. But you know, to apply this stuff now, what the hell is wrong? What has happened? What has happened to this, the collective consciousness in this country? How did we get so immersed in a demon-centered or demon-haunted world? How did this happen? You know, with all this war and eating each other and destruction and gimme greed and the country is slowly sinking. Is nobody, well, this is what happens. You know, when you have a society, especially one that is, so-called advanced, and it starts to come loose from its moorings, and, either people understand or they get a sense of, oh my God, we're adrift. What emerges from that? What logic? No. Reason? No. Common sense, so-called? No. Do we use science and math to get us out of it? No. Do we call together councils of wise people who say, okay, this is what has to be done? No. What happens is the most baseline, superstitious, crazy crap starts to rise to the surface. And it comes in the form of freak like Sarah Palin or these crazy goddamn ministers who are telling you that the world is going to end and the rapture is coming and, you know, watch out for witches and demons and hobgoblins and Barack Obama is the Antichrist. What is that? I'll tell you what it is, and you know without my saying it. It is madness. It is absolute sick, sticky, smelly madness. That's what it is. And so many people in right-wing media right now are happy and content to surf that smelly, stinky sewage. They are. They just surf it. And they know who they're talking to. They're trolling, as Frank Schaefer said, as anybody with a brain can figure out, people like Beck are trolling for assassins. The right-wing Christians are looking for somebody who will do what Timothy McVeigh did, only more focused. More focused. They're hoping, these crazy right-wing Christian bastards hope every day that the Jews and the Muslims in Israel are just going to explode and that the Israelis will start dropping nuclear weapons, which means literally a nuclear Armageddon. And then maybe they'll be happy. Will they be happy then? Will you sick bastards be happy then? I mean, what does it take? How big of a heap of corpses do you really need to satisfy your bloodthirsty God? How much do you need? How big does it have to be? And again, why don't you just leave us alone? Leave normal, sane people alone. There are a lot of people who are spiritual. There are a lot of people who believe in higher powers who want nothing to do with your craziness. Why don't you leave them alone? Why don't you leave us atheists completely alone? What the hell is wrong with you? Well, I know what it is. Madness. Madness to a degree that I don't think has ever been seen in this country. And I mean that, you know. We've had our moments of crazy stuff, but not like this. Not like this. I don't know what it is. I really don't. I really don't. But it is madness. Moving on, Mark's in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. How about you?
Doing all right.
Good.
I was thinking about something here. I'm flipping through all these channels on television. I go from, you know, various news stations,
right,
and so-called news stations and others, and I'm thinking of all this information that's out there and how we could possibly, if they wanted to, have the most educated, informed population ever in human history.
With our mass communications.
The level of so many different topics.
Right.
I mean, just everything. You could have people so engaged, a real participatory democracy, and really have people, but yet you turn from channel to channel, and it's frivolous. You could watch these programs on so-called news stations and know nothing.
Yeah.
Of the program.
Of
any substance whatsoever. I mean, they talk about the health care bill, but all they do is sit there and talk about the politics of it. Well, what's in it?
Right.
It's just so disappointing. And I think, you know, they love to talk about politics because that doesn't take any, that doesn't take any effort. That's not being a journalist. To be a journalist, to really do a great job on that would require investigation, diving into hundreds of pages of a bill and telling us about it. But we won't hear anything about that. We'll hear what the Republicans say, we'll hear what the Democrats say, and then that'll be the end. And we'll never know what's really in the bill.
You know, a part of that is people in television, certainly, understand that the American public is exactly as you describe it. It is completely uneducated, willfully ignorant, woefully disinterested in the issues that affect everybody's life. So television, you know, I worked in television for three and a half years. I know of what I speak, and this was back before I had gotten completely corrupted. But the idea, friends who work in television news, the idea now is don't disturb the viewer. Don't disturb the viewer. Because if you do, he has that or she has that remote and your ass is gone. So don't give him lots of Sarah Palin. Give him lots of Kate and John and 8 or whatever the hell it is. Give him lots of Bubble Boy. Give him lots of high speed chases with helicopters from the local affiliates. And give him lots of crazed right wing rhetoric. But don't give him anything of any substance because they'll leave. They can't handle it.
It's disappointing. Because just the possibilities are endless for what they could.
Yeah, I know. It's very upsetting. Very Mark, thanks, man. Appreciate you checking in. All right, okay. Take care. You know, if McLuhan was right, and he was, if the medium is the message, then television is totally ineffective as being a medium of information transmission, as it is currently used. And maybe that's an inherent flaw in television. I don't know. The flicker of images, it's a cool medium as opposed to a hot medium. But it's a cool medium in the wrong sense. Reading a book is a cool medium because it requires your involvement. A movie is a hot medium because it just blasts rapidly moving images at you. Television is unique in that it is, I don't know, there was a, Haskell Wexler was a cinematographer in a movie that came out about what, 25, 30 years ago, Medium Cool. Any of you remember that? I know Bob Alexander knows that movie. I know that movie, and maybe a lot of you do. Medium Cool, that was the only movie I've ever seen, well, up to the time, that showed the complete blurring between reality and television, and how that is exploited, how it is totally twisted and turned around to the point where the central character in the film, if I remember right, dies. And he's a news reporter, but winds up on somebody else's newscast. I mean, it's madness. If you get a chance, take a look at the movie Medium Cool. Medium Cool. But television, as it's practiced or put together or formulated in this country, is it's a whirlpool. It's a sewer to pull you in, like Tom DeLay winds up on Dancing with the Stars, right? From Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle, or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. You have to take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. It's about 9 before the hour. Jack is in Kansas City, Kansas, listening on XM. Hey, Jack.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just had a modest proposal. Since you're into religion, I don't think most of the Christians believe in the New Testament. They're all Old Testament type people. But anyway, what I was on about was we had that guy that shot that doctor down in Wichita here, and, you know, they're all...
Yeah.
All tongue-in-cheek saying, oh, he shouldn't have done it. They're saying, thank God he did. But my deal is, and they asked Bush if abortion was murder. He said, yeah, well, if it's murder, it's premeditated murder. And instead of shooting these doctors, they ought to get every woman that has an abortion and prior for baby murder. And I would think that some states would go for the death penalty. I think in Costa Rica or something, they or the bishop down there said they get 30 years down there for having an abortion. And the least we could do up here was out to South America and have a murder trial for every woman, because the doctors aren't dragging them off the streets. They're going in voluntarily, so it's obviously voluntary. Maybe they voluntary manslaughter, but I think it's more under premeditated murder.
So you're saying the whole, I hope I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that the whole abortion issue is hypocritical, and to assassinate doctors is madness. So if we're going to be crazy, let's go all the way. And I'll tell you what, Jack, there are a lot of people on the crazy religious right that would want to charge women with murder for privately with their doctors aborting a fetus. They want to charge him with murder. I mean, that's not so far-fetched, my friend.
Yeah, the doctors are merely accomplices in this, but I think if you executed about 10 women, that whole thing would just disappear. Nobody would even talk about it anymore.
What would disappear?
The whole debate about abortion.
Do you want to volunteer anybody that you know, women, to be executed?
No, I'm way too old for that. It wasn't that big. I went through, 16 years of Jesuit training, and we never even talked about it back then. But And my deal on the Catholic Church again is that they got together with a bunch of PR people, and I said, we're getting killed by this priest predator business. What can we bring up that we could just overwhelm that nobody will talk about it anymore? And abortion said, hey, how about that?
Well, I hear
not
you.
That I'm a cynic.
No, not a bit. I hear you. Jack, thanks. And I hope everybody listening understands the point Jack was trying to make. He's not advocating that women be executed for allowing an abortion to occur on their own bodies or within their own bodies. That's not what he's saying at all. Like you said, he's a cynic, just like I am. Thanks, Jack. Rob is driving in Iowa, listening on XM. Hey, hey, Bob.
Hi, Mike. I've been listening to you for a long time. You're my favorite atheist.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean that seriously. I'm a minister. I do clinical education for specialized ministry.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you what.
Why am I your favorite atheist?
Because you're honest and you have the same kind of criticism of the religious right that I do.
I see. Okay.
As a Christian minister, and I think it's appalling to have for me to know that people who say they profess the same religion that I do, and express some of the most disgusting things I have ever heard from anybody's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it disturbs me to hear this. I get, anyway, I disagree with you about the religious part, but I appreciate your convictions and wouldn't argue with you about why you believe the way you do.
Well, that makes sense. I learned early on. I have devoted religious people in my family, and we've just declared that topic is it's just not one that we want to discuss because it is so. What's the word I'm looking for?
It's inflaming.
Well, it's that, but what I mean is it is so personal. An internal belief system is an internal belief system, whether that system says there is or that system says there isn't. So, I see what you mean now when you say I'm your favorite atheist. Well, thank you. That's a compliment.
I listen to you as much as I can and keep up the good work.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you checking in, Bob. Take care. Take care. Well, I don't know what to do when I get a comment like that because I understand what he's saying. there were times back in the day when I was wrestling with I was like my own personal Jacob wrestling with the angel, and when I had to make some decisions that would be satisfactory to everything I knew and understood. And if it hadn't been, who knows who would have won the wrestling match if it hadn't have been for some crazed religious right influences that I saw. But, I approach it from an historical point of view. And I guess a lot of decent people who happen to be religious, who happen to be believers, whether they're Jews or Muslims or Christians, try to, I guess, divorce themselves from all the blood and gore and hypocrisy and try to live that life. And, in my own personal private way, I respect them too. We'll be back. Stay with us. Final hour coming up. We have one open line. The number here is 877-99-MALLOY. having gotten this evening to the Eric Holder's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee today, but got an email from who? Vector? Who wrote a couple of days ago, it would seem that old Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is back in the news in a big way. Remember the guy who was water tortured 183 times? The government says that he was the mastermind behind 9/11. I wonder why the Republicans were so dead set against bringing this person to your federal court system and putting him on trial as a common criminal in open court. I now think I know why. 6 months before the CIA captured KSM, they raided a house where they found his two sons, ages 6 and 9. Keep in mind, this happened under Bush. The CIA abducted the children, tortured both the 6-year-old and the 9-year-old, and now they, both children, are missing. Bush attorney John Yoo had known about KSM's children's abduction, torture, and possible murder, which puts most of the top people in the Bush administration in the loop. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will face American justice, and maybe he will drag the baby-killing Bush administration along for the ride? I don't know. I don't know about that. I do know that his children were abducted. Beyond that, I don't know about what you were saying, that they were tortured and killed. I don't think we... I would hope that this culture... could not, our culture could not produce anyone, and that we would not associate with anyone who could torture children. I would hope that's the case. But I also know that we don't seem to have a problem in blowing children up, burning them alive in Fallujah, blowing them up in outside of Kandahar. I don't know anymore. I really don't. I think this country, the United States of America, has completely, totally lost its whatever moral underpinnings we thought we had. I can't think of anything that is conducted as business by our government that is attached deeply and completely to any sort of ethical conduct whatsoever. So... you know, the concept of torturing children to me is just, you know, I think about that too much and I'll go stark raving crazy. I mean, I can't get those images in my head. And that's, you know, I'm sure that millions of years of evolution have prevented me from getting those images in my head in order to continue to think that there's some value in our species. But and yet, you know, every time you turn around, like there's this case, where is it this time? Is it in Florida? The woman who pimped her 5-year-old daughter to some crazed son of a bitch who took the child off and did God knows what, but now the child is dead. You know, if we can produce people who do that, I guess we can produce people who would torture a child. Yeah. See, that's what I mean. I've lost my bearings. On the one hand, I think, no, we couldn't do that. On the other hand, we do it all the time. It happens with alarming regularity in this society. So, you know. But try thinking about that. Go ahead. Try thinking about that. Try thinking about the sexual torture of a 5-year-old. Go ahead. Huh? On second thought, you better not. Because if you do, you're going to get ill. Man. Now, see, you've gone and done that, haven't you? Attorney General Eric Holder today said some of the following. Just listen up for a minute. When I appeared before this committee in January for my confirmation hearing, I laid out several goals for my time as Attorney General. To protect the security of the American people, restore the integrity of the Department of Justice, reinvigorate the department's traditional mission, and most of all, to make decisions based on the facts and the law with no regard for politics. In my first oversight hearing in June, I described my early approach to these issues. 5 months later, we're deeply immersed in the challenges of the day, moving forward to make good on my promises to the committee and the president's promises to the American people. First and foremost, we're working day and night to protect the American people. Due to the vigilance of our law enforcement and intelligence agencies, we have uncovered and averted a number of serious threats to domestic and international security. Recent arrests in New York, Chicago, Springfield, and Dallas are evidence of our success in identifying nascent plots and stopping would-be attackers before they strike. Violence can still occur, however. As evidenced by the recent tragic shootings at Fort Hood, we mourn the deaths of 13 brave Americans, including Dr. Libardo Caraveo, a psychologist with the Justice Department's Bureau of Prisons, who had been recalled to active duty. We're also seeking to learn from this incident to prevent its recurrence. Future dangerousness is notoriously difficult to predict. The President's order of full review. My written statement addresses a number of other issues before the department, but I would like to use the rest of the time allotted me today to address a topic I know is on your minds. My decision last week to refer Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others for prosecution in federal courts. As I said on Friday, I knew this decision would be controversial. This was a tough call, and reasonable people can disagree with my conclusions that these individuals should be tried in federal court rather than a military commission. The 9/11 attacks were both an act of war and a violation of our federal criminal law, and they could have been prosecuted in either federal courts or military commissions. Courts and commissions are both essential tools in our fight against terrorism. Therefore, at the outset of my review of these cases, I had no preconceived views as to the merits of either venue. And in fact, on the same day that I sent these five defendants to federal court, I referred five others to be tried in military commissions. I am a prosecutor, and as a prosecutor, my top priority was simply to select the venue where the government will have the greatest opportunity to present the strongest case in the best forum. I studied this issue extensively. I consulted the Secretary of Defense. I heard from prosecutors from my department and from the Defense Department's Office of Military Commissions. I spoke to victims on both sides of the question. I asked a lot of questions and weighed every alternative, and at the end of the day, it was clear to me that the venue in which we are most likely to obtain justice for the American people is in federal court. I know there are members of this committee and members of the public who have strong feelings on both sides. There are some who disagree with the decision to try the alleged coal bomber and several others in a military commission, just as there are some who disagree with prosecuting the 9/11 plotters in federal court. Despite these disagreements, I hope we can have an open, honest, and informed discussion about that decision today. And as part of that discussion, I'd like to clear up some of the misinformation that I've seen since Friday. I'm going to pause here. I think it's important to get his statement out. But see, there again, misinformation, a polite way of saying the dirty, filthy lies put out there by Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and all the rest of these slimy, crawly bastards who are so intent on destroying America. And will destroy America. They will. Holder goes on, first, we know that we can prosecute terrorists in our federal courts safely and securely because we've been doing it for years. There are more than 300 convicted international and domestic terrorists currently in Bureau of Prisons custody, including those responsible for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and the attacks on our embassies in Africa. Our courts have a long history of handling these cases. And no district has a longer history than the Southern District of New York in Manhattan. I've talked to Mayor Bloomberg of New York, and both he and the police commissioner, Ray Kelly, believe that we can safely hold these trials in New York City. Second, we can protect classified material during trial. The Classified Information Procedures Act, or CIPA, establishes strict rules and procedures for the use of classified information at trial. And we have used it to protect classified information in a range of terrorism cases. In fact, the standards recently adopted by Congress to govern the use of classified information in military commissions are derived from the very CIPA rules that we use in federal court. There's a little bit more. I'll share it with you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. They put their faith and trust in God and corporations. That doesn't suffer rivals. They're waving flags and guns and quoting from the Bible. I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans, baby, I can't stand those Republicans. sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. 21 past the hour. Back to Eric Holder's opening statement today before he had to endure questions from swine like Jeff Sessions, Alabama. In this part of his opening statement, Holder's addressing the lies and the misinformation and so forth put out there by the right-wingers 24-7. Holder says, third, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will have no more of a platform to spew his hateful ideology in federal court than he would have in military commissions. Before the commissions last year, he declared the proceedings an inquisition, condemned his own attorneys and our Constitution, and professed his desire to become a martyr. Those proceedings were heavily covered in the media, yet few complained at the time that his rants threatened the fabric of our democracy. Judges in federal courts have firm control over the conduct of defendants and other participants in their courtrooms. And when the 9/11 conspirators are brought to trial, I have every confidence that the presiding judge will ensure appropriate decorum. And if KSM makes the same statements he made in his military commission proceedings, I have every confidence the nation and the world will see him for the coward he is. I'm not scared of what Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will have to say at trial, and no one else needs to be either. Prosecuting 9/11 defendants in federal court does not represent some larger judgment about whether or not we're at war. We are at war, and we will use every instrument of national power, civilian, military, law enforcement, intelligence, diplomatic, and others, to win. We need not cower in the face of this enemy. Our institutions are strong, our infrastructure is sturdy, our resolve is firm, and our people are ready. Huh? We will also use every instrument of our national power to bring to justice those responsible for terrorist attacks against our people. For 8 years, justice has been delayed for the victims of the 9/11 attacks. It has been delayed even further for the victims of the attack on the USS Cole. No longer. No more delays. It is time. It is past time to act. By bringing prosecutions in both our courts and military commissions, by seeking the death penalty, by holding these terrorists responsible for their actions, we are finally taking ultimate steps toward justice. That is why I made this decision. And reading your statement or listening to it, you know, I could find nothing that would indicate any waffling on the part of Eric Holder. As a matter of fact, both Holder and Obama have pretty much declared these people guilty and have also pretty much declared what their sentence will be. But never underestimate the willful ignorance and the monumental stupidity of people like Jeff Sessions or the Republicans like John Kyle on the Senate Judiciary Committee who displayed that stupidity and ignorance today, repeatedly, over and over and over again. It was just, I mean, I'm becoming slightly immune to it at this point. I used to get enraged by this stuff and froth and foam and spit and get crazy. But after a while, it becomes just background noise, doesn't it? You know, listening to Jeff Sessions is the same as listening to Sarah Palin, which is the same as listening to Glenn Beck, which is the same as listening to Dick Cheney. It all becomes simply white noise, background noise, garbage. It's a shame to see talented people, though, having to do what some of the people in the Barack Obama administration are having to do. Had this group come into elective office and appointed office, as Holder is, immediately after the Clinton administration. In the first place, I don't think this country would have been bombed by 19 people, 15 of whom were friends of the or it came from the country run by friends of the Bush crime family. I don't think the bombing ever would have occurred. I really don't. Bush and Cheney and the rest of these pigs in his administration eagerly awaited such an attack and stood everything down so the attack could occur and the murders could take place. If you really want to get to the people who are responsible for this, why not put Bush and Cheney and Ashcroft and the rest of these filthy goddamn terrorists. Why not put them on trial? Huh? We had our chance, but Nancy Pelosi exonerated them. Nancy Pelosi declared them innocent in much the same way that Eric Holder and Barack Obama have declared this group guilty. Same thing. I guess when you're in those positions of power, you can do that sort of thing, right? But if justice were truly sought, which it very seldom is in the United States of America, let's get real here. I'm talking about justice. I'm not talking about fulfilling the requirements of criminal law. I'm talking about justice. If justice is to be fulfilled, as it rarely is in the United States of America, then Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his other the three or four cohorts would be so far down the list of people to be brought to justice, brought into a courtroom and charged and tried, as to render them almost meaningless. And the real criminals, Bush, Cheney, and the rest of these bastards, if they were put on trial, your humble and obedient servant here would find something to cheer and clap and applaud and scream and dance about.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's More Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Yeah, Bill sent me the link. It's from the Telegraph of the UK, a newspaper there, and it's from 2003, March 9th to be exact, 2003. The two young sons of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the suspected mastermind of the September 11 attacks, are being used by the CIA to force their father to talk. Yusuf al-Khalid, 9, and his brother Abed al-Khalid, 7, were taken into custody in Pakistan last September when intelligence officers raided a flat in Karachi where their father had been hiding. The boys had been held by the Pakistani authorities, but this weekend they were flown to America where they will be questioned about their father. Last night, CIA interrogators confirmed that the boys were staying at a secret address where they were being encouraged to talk about their father's activities. One official said, quote, "We are handling them with kid gloves. After all, they are only little children. But we need to know as much about their father's recent activities as possible. We have child psychologists on hand at all times, and they are given the best of care," end quote. Let me digress a minute. Isn't it true that there were psychologists and psychiatrists on hand as we tortured people and gave the best advice available to the torturers as to how and when to apply what pressure in what manner and method and when to ease up and when to apply it again? But according to a CIA spokesperson, the psychologists used on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's children were different. Their father is being interrogated at the Bagram U.S. military base in Afghanistan. He's being held in solitary confinement and is subjected to what is referred to as stress and duress style interrogation techniques. Isn't that nice? Stress and duress. Sounds like steak and ale. Sounds like surf and turf. You know, stress and duress. Hey, let's go out and have some stress and duress. Okay, I'll buy. He has been told that his sons are being held and he is being encouraged to divulge information to the West and talk about the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden. One CIA official said yesterday, quote, "He has said very little so far. He sits in a trance-like state and recites verses from the Quran. His sons are important to him. The promise of the release and the return to Pakistan may be the psychological lever we need to break him." And it goes on. Well, That was then. I mean, Jesus, that was 6.5 years ago. It doesn't count anymore, right? It doesn't mean anything anymore. I wonder if the defense will enter that into evidence, that any confession. Now, Eric Holder says that they have plenty of evidence that was obtained without torturing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed through the pressure applied to his two young sons. Oh, okay. And how are we to verify that in a U.S. court of law? I guess I'm starting to slip around to agree with the crazy people in this country. It's very easy to become crazy when you're surrounded by crazy, right? And the craziness I'm sliding into is, if we have gone this far, if we've truly gone this far, and there's no reason to believe that we haven't, you know, torturing people, encouraging children to speak about their father in the presence of psychologists, then why bother with a trial? This is starting to feel like the Soviet Union, the show trials that they had in the Soviet Union in the 50s, isn't it? It is to me. Why not just take Khalid Sheikh Mohammed out behind a barn somewhere and execute him? Just shoot him. I mean, I would imagine that's what Jeff Sessions and the Beck Limbaugh axis in this country would just as soon have happened. They don't want any kind of type of trial because, God forbid, there might be secrets. Ooh, U.S. intelligence come out. Yeah, the U.S. intelligence that would come out, possibly, although I doubt it, would be the active involvement in this whole event by George Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of these bastards that comprise the Bush crime family. But they are beyond prosecution. Nobody grabbed George Bush's twin daughters and questioned them about their father's activities while psychologists were present. Nobody grabbed Dick Cheney's grandchildren and questioned them about their grandpa's activities. Jesus God. Aren't you about the end of your rope? Don't you just want all this to go away? Don't you want to just go somewhere? just not hear this anymore. Do you know what? You know what is really crazy? All this stuff, unless you're, 18, all this stuff is going to be right there for the rest of your life. Think about that for a second. The people who dealt with World War II and the Nuremberg trials and all the stuff that came out of that, there was an end point. There was an end point when it was over. And it became a huge rip, a tear, a bloody gash in history. But it was over. Do you know that for us in the United States, because of the madness of who we are, where we live, and what our media consists of, what our legal system consists of, what our corporate owners, what they want to have happen. Do you realize that this is it? This is the it's not the topic du jour, it's the topic du decade, whatever the word is for endless. That's it. This is what, 15 years from now, if you're alive, this is what you'll be discussing. Well, they got some more terrorists. And the really irritating, infuriating, disgusting part of all this is that the people who were charged to protect and defend, by his own words, although it's not the oath, but to protect this country, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, did not. And through the cunning of right-wing media, they've shifted the responsibility someplace else. Nobody talks about that. Nobody says. No, none of our crack White House correspondents or commentators or media people point out the obvious. Had we had a competent administration, none of this would have happened. By competent, I mean one that was not interested in allowing it to happen, which is precisely what the Bush crime family did. Do you doubt that? Do you really think for a moment any longer? Do you, truth seeker, that Bush and Cheney were totally innocent of this, that they knew nothing after a daily brief was presented to them? after 13 or 14 intelligence agencies here and every single reliable, quote, quote, intelligence agency in the Western world informed these criminals that an attack of massive proportions was coming. Do you think that they're innocent? Do you think that Bush and Cheney and their cohort of assassins is innocent, are innocent? Do you really? Are you really that far gone? Well, for the majority of Americans, and it is a majority, who believe that Bush and Cheney are innocent, innocent little political naifs unable to operate in a world of global terrorism, and therefore we've got the killers. We've got Osama bin, oh, wait a minute, we don't have him, do we? Oh, we have Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his kids. You know, everything's cool. Everything's cool. If these goddamn liberals who operate in the Obama administration would just get on with it and turn it over to a squad of Marines and somebody from the Judge Advocate General's office and get this over with in about 10 minutes, then we could move on and the secret would be buried forever. Crazy. Just crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. The people who allowed this to happen, the people who in our government who responded to the Project for a New American Century that suggested and then demanded that the only way out of the retreat of American power, global American power, the only way out of that retreat was another Pearl Harbor. And then the sons of bitches engineered one. I mean, it's in their literature. It's in their documents. It's in there when they demanded of Clinton, you know, attack Iraq, attack Afghanistan. Clinton said, no, no, thank you. It's all there. Everything's there. Wouldn't you love to see Katie Couric or Charlie Gibson or Brian Williams just open up a newscast just once. Of course, it'd be the end of their career. Look at Dan Rather. But just once, open up a newscast by saying evidence is surfacing that the events of September 11th, 2001 were the result of murderous incompetence, if not outright collusion on the part of the Bush crime family. Wouldn't you like to see that as an opening of a newscast? Woo, doggies. Wouldn't that just bring the whole goddamn house of cards right flat down?
No time for a summer friend. No time for the love you send. Seasons change and so did I. You need not wonder why. You need not wonder why. There's no time left for you.
Excuse me. I don't believe I did that. Just coughed right into the microphone. Thanks to our crew, Sharon Gordy, Kay Petrini, Bruce Enberg, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Catherine Bay. I don't know. Maybe I should stop saying those names. It's the same every week, every night. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm just going to do it on Friday night. What do you think, Kathy? Yeah, I guess I'll do that. Back to your call. Steven is in Burbank, California. Hey, Steven.
How are you, Mike?
Hi.
Oh, the show started out, and I talked to Kathy about the cultural, right at the roots where we have the connection between mass culture, politics, economics, and the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, Eric Holder and torture. So how do you connect those dots, you know?
Well, that's the interesting thing about this program. It's just as insane as,
well,
you know.
I'll try. I mean, I'll try. What I've been trying to say for a while is, you know, they have this thing called post-traumatic stress disorder, but I'm thinking like more along the lines of ongoing traumatic stress disorder, you know? Like you like mm-hmm. to say, oh, we're normal, and I say, well, I'm crazy, we're crazy. It's normal to be crazy under these circumstances.
Well, when you take a look at the drugs prescribed to Americans, the classes of drugs prescribed to Americans, and how it's changed over the past 30 years, yeah, the country is on everybody's on some kind of drug, and most of the drugs are antidepressants. Just watch one of the network news shows at night, 6:30 or 7 o'clock, whenever it comes on in your market, and you'll see commercial after commercial for drugs that fight depression. Of course, the commercial will tell you that the drugs may make you commit suicide, but that's the ultimate cure for depression. And don't send me an email at you people who work in mental health and say, Jesus Christ, Malloy, what are you saying? You know exactly what I'm saying, but go ahead.
I know a guy who's taken Prozac and he did want to commit suicide.
Well, of course. I mean, this is the pharmaceutical industry's greatest scam on the history of the planet. Everybody in the country is depressed. If you're not depressed right now, you're rich.
So be it. But I got the latest Adam Curtis documentary. This one was made in 1995, and he connects the dots between the Nuremberg trials, CIA brainwashing, and Margaret Thatcher's obsession with Winston Churchill. You know, so if he can do it, I can try. You mentioned that Wally. I finally got around watching a movie that you recommended, Wally.
Wally. Isn't that great?
Oh, it was. What I got out of it was here was consciousness, you know, just plain simple consciousness. It didn't have to be organic,
right.
Metabolic, or but it was consciousness with a desire to share, to find other consciousness.
Right.
You know, to find another conscious. And that's what it is with people, too. We try to share our worlds. We try to understand each other. We try to, you know, be nice. But when the children are playing in the sandbox and one of the children is, I don't know, not nice, you know, there's violence, you know, and then you have to make rules. You try to establish rules of justice, and then things get rough, and you cheat, and you lie, and you steal, and, you know, it just gets out of control.
Yeah.
And we have to get back to... oh, God, I hate it. It just popped in my mind. We got to get back to the garden. You know, I mean, I don't know what to say. The trials, you know, Eric Holder, read the Constitution, the Sixth Amendment. Why are they so afraid of it?
Mm.
I mean, well, it's like I'm going to tell mommy on you, you know, and, well, I'm not going to, you know, it's politics. Well, if you right. tell mommy on me for this, and I'm going to tell daddy on you for that, you know, and it just gets to the point where they're constantly at each other's throats.
Well, but I think, and we're about out of time here, Stephen. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in. But the reason Republicans, especially the swine on the Judiciary Committee who tried to turn Eric Holder inside out today, you know, set aside Holder's motivations, set aside all of that, and just listen to these Republicans. They're terrified. A, B, they hate the Constitution. They don't want any of this. They want nothing. If constitutional law were ever really applied in this country, these sons of bitches would go to prison. They would go to prison for the rest of their worthless, useless lives. But to see, you don't hear, at least I don't. Let me rephrase that. I don't hear Democrats on these various committees. There may be some, but I don't hear Democrats deciding that the U.S. Constitution does not apply where it concerns people who attack the country, civilians who are later given a false identification as enemy combatants, whatever the hell that is, but people who came to this country and did essentially the same thing that Timothy McVeigh did. Why don't we try Timothy McVeigh in a military tribunal? Timothy McVeigh, a former... a soldier murdered 168 people with explosives, an act of terror, and he made it very clear. He was the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building was his way of declaring how much contempt he held the U.S. government. Of course, the U.S. government at the time, the one that had switched his mind off was the Bush 1 government, George Herbert Walker Bush. But be that as it may, why wasn't Timothy McVeigh? How come none of these right-wing sons of bitches ever demanded that Timothy McVeigh be tried in a military tribunal and taken out and executed? It's astonishing to me how vile and filthy Republicans really are. Our justice system is capable. Again, I don't know what the motives are of Eric Holder or Barack Obama. I'll accept at face value what they say. They're here to bring justice to the people who attacked this country. But the Republicans, to watch these swine, there's not a single event that occurs that they don't immediately seize upon it. Anything that Obama does, if they ever find out what brand of bathroom tissue he uses, they're going to use that as some argument that he's really a communist, because only communists wipe that way. I mean, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. Man. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.